Hey, if you don't know, this month's theme is family. It is nothing stronger than family. We just didn't call it that because Meg and Kate didn't let me. And we really love Fast and the Furious, so we wanted to make sure family was the theme. No. Today, we're going to be talking about parenting. And last week, Pastor Craig gave a great message on screens. All right. And if you missed that, it's on the live stream. You can go back on the YouTube channel and check that out. But Pastor Craig talked about the damage that screens does. And so you better believe our kids had less screen time this week than they normally do. So it was just good to do that. Today, we're going to be talking about parenting with purpose. And so I want to encourage you that even if you're not a parent, or even if your parenting journey is mostly over, that this message is still for you. That even if you're, you aren't married, don't have kids, this message is still for you. Because the purpose, the aim of today's message is a greater surrendered life to Christ. A greater surrendered life to Christ. And so I want to encourage you, even if that is you, listen in. Okay, we're going to pray. God, we thank you that you have given us such a wonderful purpose in life that we can serve you, surrender to you, and follow your will. And God, we thank you that that is the greatest thing that we could ever do with our life. And as Jono said, Lord, today we just pray more surrender. God, that wherever there are areas of my life that haven't surrendered, God, I pray today that you identify those and you surrender them in your mighty, wonderful name. Amen. All right, disclaimer. I need you to write this down if you're taking notes. This is a disclaimer, is that I don't know everything about parenting. Okay, this is a disclaimer. We're only halfway through. They're only 10 and 11, our kids, so we're only halfway through. Please don't take this down as the Gospel of Daniel says this. No, don't, all right? But I do have great parents and great role models for parenting in Craig and Chris, in friends, in all of the families that we've, or family members that we've got. And I've got the best tool at my disposal ever, God's word, right? So the disclaimer is, I don't know everything, okay? I could be wrong here. No, it's God's word that we're going to trust. So the first thing that I tried to do is come up with a story or an interactive moment for the message. So hopefully this goes really well. It could be good, it could be bad. So I tried to think of some of the best parental role models and Googled a list, but first I want to hear from you guys. So who are some of the best parents of all time in pop culture? They might be famous parents, might be parents in movies. Who are some of the best parents? Go. Who is that? Jonathan Kent. That I assume is Superman's dad. Homer Simpson. Any others? Jordan Peterson. Any others? Who? Chilean Bandit. Bluey. Okay, awesome. All right, so I Googled some and I tried to find them out. So we had Kate and Peter McAllister from Home Alone. Huh? Zinnia and Harry Wormwood from Matilda. Odin from the Avengers and Loki and Thor. Darth Vader. Michael Jackson. Oh, that one hurt a little bit. Oh, sorry, that was the worst parents list. I apologize. Why are those parents bad parents? Was it one moment of leaving their kid at home? Was it being a dodgy car dealer and super gluing a bumper on? Was it being a warlord and not telling your kids about it? Was it trying to kill your own son? That goes for both Darth Vader and Michael Jackson. Hanging him off the balcony. Reese is like looking at me like, I don't remember that. Okay, I'm joking. Does one moment define a bad parent? Does one moment define a bad parent? Yes, Darth Vader tried to kill his son Luke, but does it define a bad parent? Does one moment define a good parent? They do one really good thing, but then all the other time they're a bad parent? So who is the best parent of all time? Now listen, I know that we've all got that world's greatest dad mug, but that is not a qualification. So who is the best parent of all time? You don't have the mug, Giddy's not old enough yet. You'll get there. I'm sure I've got a world's greatest dad mug at home. It's stacked right up the back of the... Everybody else is like, their mugs are coming out of their cupboard, right? But you only use the first like layer, and then all the rest of the layer of mugs you never see. Yeah, okay, same for us. All jokes aside, the best parent of all time is God. He is, in fact, the perfect parent. We're going to go to Scripture. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 to 17. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies within our spirit that we're God's children. Now, if we are children, then we're heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. So why does God parent us? If he brought about our adoption to sonship and we are his children, we're the sons and daughters of God, why does he parent us? What is the purpose of God's parenting for us? He parents us to build us into his image and for his purpose. He has a vision in mind for our lives and he guides us towards that vision. God parents us with purpose. And he does it in two ways. Or he does it in two purposes. So, you're taking notes. Here's the first one. The first one is the general purpose. Can everybody say general purpose? General purpose. Like a general purpose cleanup, but this is just for everybody. All right, for every surface, for everybody, this is the general purpose. The same purpose for all that whoever walked the earth is relationship with God, conformity to Christ's image, to bring him glory. And he does it by relationship with him, by the Holy Spirit. The general purpose of your life, of your kids' lives, of your grandkids' lives, of every life that has ever walked the face of the planet, the general purpose is to be in relationship with God, to be conformed and built more and more into him, his image. So whether you are today hearing this message as a child of God, or whether you're hearing it as a parent to lead your kids in this way, right, or whether you're hearing it as somebody who is no longer a parent or never been a parent, but you get to lead and mentor others, the general purpose, the best general purpose there ever is relationship with God. Conformity to Christ's image. How do we know that he does this by the Holy Spirit? John 16, verse 13 to 14 says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me," that is when Jesus is saying this, "he will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you." As in, God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they're all one, and so they all say the same thing. They lead you in truth. What truth? What is the purpose? I recently, as in 12 hours ago, passed my assignment, my last assignment for the semester. Okay, and it got marked within about 3 hours or 4 hours or something. I handed it in the morning. It was marked in the afternoon. But it was on this verse that I'm just about to read out. And I'm going to use my assignment to preach. Hey, two birds, one stone. How good's that? Romans, as a book, is this awesome sort of duality in it. So Paul structures it in two ways. He says, firstly, I'm going to pick two different audiences. And throughout the whole book of Romans, you can see him switch between the Gentiles and the Jews. And he's doing that because Paul is uniquely qualified of having a Jewish background and also being a Roman citizen and having a Roman background. And he knows what they're going through. And so he keeps switching the audience all the way through. He talks to the Jew, and then he talks to the Gentile, and then he talks to the Jew, and then he talks to the Gentile. And he builds theological concepts. And so chapters 1 through 4 are like an introduction to the concepts that he's going to build, and he lays a foundation. And then chapters 5 through 8, he starts building these concepts, theological concepts. And this verse that we're just about to read out, which is Romans 8, 28 to 30, is like the exclamation point of the last three chapters. It's the building point. He's gone through what it means for the Jew. He's gone through what it means for the Gentile. He's built all these theological points. And this is like the scream at you moment of it all comes together in one sentence or a couple of sentences. And it says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified." It is Paul's absolute moment of screaming at everybody, you are called for relationship with God. When you are in that relationship with God, his purpose is to conform you into Christ. And when he conforms you into Christ, you are justified and seen as holy and righteous, and you are glorified and glorifying the kingdom of God in that purpose. Wow. What an amazing thing that when we receive salvation, we're no longer seen as you know, sinners and dirty and rotten. We receive salvation, and it says we're justified, made righteous. And then we're continually conformed in the image of Jesus, and it glorifies God. What an amazing general purpose that we could all have. Like, if that is the purpose of my life and it is only that, sign me up. That God would know me, call me, justify me, and glorify me, and I did nothing. The second way, if you're taking notes, is that God calls us in a specific purpose. Now, the general purpose, that's the multi-purpose cleaner for everybody, right? Multi-purpose cleaner for everybody. But the specific purpose is that you might be Windex. You're just to clean windows. You might be WD-40, you're just to clean chains on bikes. This is the specific purpose. The specific thing that God is calling you for. And we're going to read a really long passage of scripture, but it's worth it. If you've got your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to read verse 4, just after the little bit of intro. We're going to read all the way to the end, verse 31. So we'll take a little break in between, but there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Getting the point here? Different kinds of cleaners, but the same manufacturer, okay? I didn't actually plan this cleaning metaphor, so maybe it'll go well, maybe it won't. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of that same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that same Spirit. To another, miraculous powers by that same Spirit. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. This is where we're going to break a second. The concept and principle here is that the same God that generally calls us to conformity in Christ also gifts us with gifts of the Holy Spirit, with talents, with all kinds of things that are gifts that we're to use to build up the body of Christ for the common good. But it is your specific call. It is the same Spirit, but he's calling you to that common good. Now, I can't play guitar. I definitely can't play bass guitar, which is the easy version, and I still can't play acoustic guitar. Huh? That was a dig at Jono. No, Jono can play both. So that's not my call. But we've got great guitarists in our church. Now, I can play the drums. Not very well, but well enough. Like, we have a specific call by God. Now, not all of us are to be pastors. Some of us are to be business leaders. Some of us are to be, just great parents, wonderful parents. Now, it talks here about the purpose that each one of them has towards the common good and then the unity in the body of Christ. So we're going to keep reading. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles. Remember, Romans was to the Jews and the Gentiles. This is Paul writing again in Corinthians. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. It's still a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker and indispensable are the parts that we think less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unrepresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers. If one part is honored, every part rejoices. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts, helping, guidance, and different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all have tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. Right here, God talks about the specific purpose of your life, the specific gifts that are given, is to still serve God's purpose. It's just in a more specific way. The same principle these two same principles we can apply to how we parent. So how do we do that? The first thing, I know if you're going to write this, if you're writing notes, I want you to write it down, bold it, circle it, highlight it, partner with God. If you are doing your parenting life with your kids, no matter how old, or you're trying to do life yourself, without God, you're going to fall short. It's not following the general purpose. It's not following the specific purpose. So, partner with God. How do we apply the general purpose to our parenting? That is, to lead your children to a relationship with God. I once was I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again because there's new people in church. I once was convinced that I had to teach our kids resilience, that resilience was the main thing that I had to teach our kids. How do we build up resilient adults? I don't want them to go through hard stuff because I want to protect them, but I also want to teach them resilience. And the only way that I know how is to go through hard stuff. So how do I manage this? And I happened to be sitting, chatting with Ken and Donna, and Ken and Donna, you know, gave me the verbal slap around the head and said, "What do you care? What do you care? As long as they follow God." Resilience is like so low on the list of things you should care about. Your kids just need to know Jesus. And I was like, okay, oh, you're right. I've just drummed this thing up in my head. But when we do it our way and we don't partner with God, we miss it. So to build them into the image of Christ as our best example of a human life live, we need to guide them towards relationship with God. Build them into God's values, not any other values. I'm going to give an example here. And this is one that may upset some people on the live stream. So it's okay. All good. Our kids ask questions, and they're 10 and 11. So just as a heads up, this is when it occurs. Our kids ask questions about transgender people. And they ask things like, you know, why is that? Why does that occur? How does that happen? Now, it would be really easy for a parent in that time to bring their own values to that discussion. But the fact is that we have to bring God's values. We're not building them into our likeness, we're building them into Christ's likeness. So we've got to bring God's values. And so the number one value that we teach our kids when they talk about that, and when it's brought up, is that we love those hurting people. We love those hurting people. Now, we don't think that the answer is what the world says the answer is to that hurt and that pain. We think the answer is Jesus. We know the answer is Jesus because the answer is Jesus for my hurt and pain. And so we say, hey, the world has been tricked into thinking that this is the best way to help those people and love those people, but it's not. But kids, don't get it twisted. We love those people. We absolutely 100% love those people and want to see them healed. And so our kids won't go through life with a hatred of one or the other or being scared, but they've got to go through life with the mission and purpose of I'm that person. I don't see the hurt and the pain as their identity like they do. I see the hurt and the pain as the spirit that's attacking them, and I want to help them. So we've got to lead them in Jesus' values, in Christ's values. The second way we do this is to lead them in specific purpose. That is to lead your children to the specific life that God wants them to live. Helping them to find their God-given talents, passions, and direction that God wants them to go in. How you do that is you model living your specific purpose. Now, God's going to give it to them because it has to be a God-given purpose. It can't be your purpose you decide for them. It's got to be a God-given specific purpose. But the way that you do that and the way that you model that is living it out yourself and telling them that what you're doing. Hey, kids, we're serving at church on Sunday because God gave me this talent and it's my purpose to serve. God wants me to be able to lead people in worship so that they can get to know him. That's what I'm doing. Tell the kids the purpose of the decisions that you make. I want to sort of land this and bring this home with a little bit of weight. What happens if we don't parent or we don't live our own lives in this specific purpose of being conformed to Christ and the general purpose of being conformed to Christ and the specific purpose of following God's will for our life? What happens? There's two options. The first one is that we parent or we lead our own lives with no purpose. You hear this from the world, from parents in the world, in two really common statements. I just want my kids to be happy. And I just want to give my kids the things that I didn't have. Now, those two things are a giant red flag for parenting without purpose. Because what kind of purpose is happiness? We know that happiness is fleeting. We know that from our own lives. There's no way you're going to remain happy your entire life. So you're leading your child to an absolute, you know, storm of wrong identity and wrong purpose in life. Or I just want my kids to have things that I didn't have. Things. Things. That's not our purpose in life. What an empty purpose that would be. The other one is that if you don't purpose towards God's general purpose and God's specific purpose, that you might parent with a purpose that's less important than God's. I say this with the most love and care that I possibly could, but a worldly good outcome is still short of God's plan. Your kids could gain the whole world. They could get money. They could get worldly success, happiness, fame. They could be the most handsome, the most jacked, the most, you know, wonderful things. But if they don't love God, it's short of the purpose. Matthew chapter 16, verse 26 says, "What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul?" This is for our own lives. Today you might have followed your own purpose, and today's a challenge to you to say, stop following your purpose, follow God's. Today you might have been parenting, and maybe your parenting journey is mostly over. You know, your kids are adults, whatever. Today is a challenge to say the job's not over. Lead them towards God. The job might be different in how you approach it, but parenting, even as an adult, the purpose is the same. Lead them to relationship with God and encourage them to listen to Him and follow Him. I want to challenge you today to ask yourself the question, am I living my life for my purpose or for God's purpose? And I want you to ask the question, am I parenting, if you're a parent, towards no purpose, towards a different purpose, or towards God's purpose? If the answer to that question, or either of those questions, is that you're not following God, I want to give you the opportunity today to choose to follow God. To choose to say, hey, I'm sorry that I've made it my own thing. I've made it my purpose. I've made it a different purpose other than that. Or I've had no purpose and I'm sorry, God. But to surrender that area of your life, be it your own life or be it your parenting, to say, God, I want to do it your way. If that's you today, we're going to pray. You don't have to put your hand up. You don't have to do anything. But today, commit to faith again, to doing it God's way. God, we pray today for each and every one of the people in this house, the parents in this house. And God, we dedicate back again to not following our own purpose, but following yours. Lord, we're sorry for what we've brought to the table. Lord, we're sorry for doing it a different way than what you called us to do. And Lord, we know and we recognize and we repent of that attitude that says, I know better. That pride that says, I know better than you, God. We repent of that pride today. And we say, God, we recommit to doing life your way, to running, to doing parenting your way. That Lord, I'm going to run towards you and your presence, and you will conform me in your image for your glory. And God, I'm going to run, and I'm going to encourage my kids to run to that same purpose, to run to the purpose of you. I'm going to show them how much you can do, and God, that they'll want to love you and chase you. Holy Spirit, today we pray for every one of the kids, from right down little, just born bubs, right through to adults. God, we pray that you build a relationship with them, and that, Lord, if they've walked away from you, or if they haven't been following you, God, we pray today, bring them back to you. God, bring our kids back to you. God, show them how much you love them. God, show them how much you love them. God, give me opportunities to speak to my kids and tell them about your love again. God, give me opportunities to lead them towards you, to lead them back to a loving relationship with you. God, we pray for their salvation, for those kids that don't know Jesus. God, we're praying right now that they'll have people in their lives. They'll start to be surrounded by people that know you, that love you, that follow your purpose, and that it just can't help but get through to them. God, maybe we don't have the opportunity. We don't have the line of communication to bring them back to you, but God, we're praying that you're putting the people around them that would bring them back to you. Holy King, have your will and have your way. Your kingdom come in my life and in my family. In your mighty name, amen. Amen. If you want to pray for a specific family member, specific kids, or you know, maybe even for yourself to say, hey, I want to surrender my life again, I'd love to encourage you. We'll have the ministry team up the front to pray. So just come on up and get prayer for that. Otherwise, I want to encourage you to hang out with people. Go and get a coffee out these doors and hang out, have fun, get to know one another and enjoy. But otherwise, we'll just keep playing a little bit and the altar's open for prayer. Thanks for coming. We'll see you next week.